Lucky Whitehead of the Dallas Cowboys had his dog stolen. Bugatti Casino ended up with that dog. He made a video asking for $20,000 for the dog to go back to Lucky Whitehead. We were crushing him. Extortion. He needs to be arrested. This guy's a joke.
Yeah.
Can't speak. Went crazy on him.
Horrible individual.
Because it looked bad.
Yes.
Looked like he stole the dog and then was extorting an NFL player.
And then asking the owner of the dog for his money back when he should have gone to the person who sold him the dog to get the money.
So we wanted to talk to the guy, and I was ready to yell at him. I was ready to go in on him. We were going to...
I was ready to pay for his education.
Yes. So that was the mindset in taping this interview yesterday. And the reason we taped it is because he's got a propensity to curse. He did so during this interview, so you're going to hear a couple of bleeps. This was indeed taped yesterday, just so you know all of that ahead of time. So I started off. We got him on the phone, just asked him how he was doing.
Hey, good morning, man.
Well, first off, I guess I want to hear your side of the story. We heard you say that you didn't steal the dog. So tell us why you didn't steal the dog when a lot of people might have thought that you did steal the dog.
I mean, you know, man, I had just bought a dog, man, from an anonymous source, man. And I just returned. You know, I found out the dog was stolen. After I found out the dog was stolen. And who the owner was, I got in contact with the owner. I returned the dog to him.
So, in your video, you said, I ain't stole no dog, and you got the dog from his ex-bitch. And so, why would you want him, Lucky Whitehead, to pay you, give you your money back? Why wouldn't you go to the person who you paid for the stolen dog?
Because, man, you know, I felt like it was a scam. At first, I didn't believe it was real. I didn't believe it was real. Like I say, I didn't know the dog was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's like a scam, and somebody tried to scam me. Because I got to say let me say again. Like I say, remember, I didn't know the dog was stolen. I didn't even know. The dog belonged to nobody.
I got you. So listen to me, though. I understand that. So you didn't know when you purchased the dog that it was someone else's dog. Okay. But then you paid someone for the dog. Why not go back to that person and say, hey, you gave me a stolen dog, or I bought a stolen dog from you. Why wouldn't you go back to that person, the girl you mentioned, and get your money from her?
Because it was an anonymous source. Like it really, like, you know, like I wasn't familiar with that person. Like,
oh, I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
So the person that sold you the dog, you didn't know, and now you don't know how to find that person.
Right.
Oh, okay. Now, a lot of people, when they watch that video of you with the dog and your other friends around the dog, say that you were extorting Lucky Whitehead for $20,000. So your explanation for that is you thought that you were being scammed, so you were trying to get back at him, and you weren't trying to extort an NFL player.
I mean, you know, it's. I have been seeing it, and been getting talked about on social media a lot about that. But like anybody with good common sense, no, I wouldn't. It wasn't no ransom or no, I was extorting nobody or extorting them for money. Like I say, I didn't believe the dog was stolen and dog had nothing to do with what they're saying the dog belonged to.
Where'd you come up with the $20,000 number then?
I thought it was a scam. You see what I'm saying? I felt like I was getting scammed. Like I feel like I got the dog because, like I say, when I got the dog, I found out they started telling me that it was Whitehead dog on my social media. I never heard nothing about it, nothing. And they said this had been going on for about a week. I never heard nothing about it. You know, I haven't been watching no news. Like I said, I had been like locked in the studio, so I didn't really believe it. And then, like I say, when I first heard about it after I had the dog, I contacted Whitehead, but he never replied to nothing I said. But you know, I'm thinking because NFL player, he big, like he got better stuff to do. I'm like, man, hell, they just type, man, they playing. Mm-hmm. You know, because I put it on my social media and people start telling me, like, you know who Dog that is? You know who Dog you got? And I'm like, I really never just, I just was like, man, whatever, man, they just talking. But, like, it started, like, kind of like, people, a lot of people just started just bashing me. One time, bashing me, like, man, and people I don't know, never heard of, never even seen. So I'm like, damn, what the hell? Is this true? What the hell going on? Then I went to his social media. I'm like, damn. But I'm like, damn, okay, he is missing the dog. But I'm like, is this the dog? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, it, you know what I'm saying? This could be just a look like hell. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, I got to be getting scammed, man. I'm like, somebody trying to scam me here now. So that's why.
How long did you have the dog? How long was the dog in your possession?
I had the dog like not even 2 hours, probably like an hour, a little bit over an hour.
Oh, wow.
Like a little bit over an hour.
Now, what did you, did you rename the dog?
Yeah, hell yeah.
What's his name? What did you name him?
I named him Casino.
Oh, okay. All right.
Makes sense.
I named him, you know, because it's crazy because I had a dog not too long ago. It was a pit bull too.
What happened to your dog?
Somebody stole him.
So somebody stole your dog?
Yeah, at my sister's backyard. Hell yeah. I had two of them to be exact. I had named one Gotti, and I had named the other one Casino.
Come on, dog. How you going to be a rap star if people stealing your dog?
That's what I'm saying. Hey, shout out to my big sister, Sergeant Taylor. Man, yes, she'll tell you. At first, I thought she was scamming me. I thought she had done sold my dog. You know what I mean?
We're talking to Bugatti Casino on Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio. Is this like a thing that happens around the Dallas-Fort Worth area? A lot of dog theft?
Yeah, hell yeah, that's big. Like, where I'm at, that's big. Like, dogs get stolen. Like, I got another dog right now. Like, after that happened with his dog, I got a blue pit right now. I got a blue pit bull. I got blue pit bull right now.
What'd you name it?
I had named Casino too.
Casino too. <girl. team.
laughs> Hey, it's a crazy boy. It's a girl. So people like, damn, how the hell is this? I'm like, man, I gotta have my dog.
Casino is unisex. Hey, man, when I was a kid, somebody shot my dog.
Damn. and then you know what's crazy? Like, I love dogs. So it really had pissed me off already. Like when I found out it was true, man, it pissed me off so bad. It pissed
you like that dog. And
I paid like I paid money for the dog, and I was like, damn, like it's like you see what I'm saying? Like that I just really took a loss. Like I never received no money. I never received no money back for the dog or nothing. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So it's like, how could it be a ransom? It's like, you see what I'm saying?
You did the right thing. Give the dog
like
back.
I just got played. Yeah. Whitehead, him being a good man, like he offered me my money back and everything. I told him, I say, bro, you know what? I say, nah, that's your dog. I don't. Like I say, that's the only reason why I said, you start going. I said, oh, hell no, this is bigger than rap. this man dog. This dog more famous than me.
Now, you was smoking around the dog in the video. You smoke around all your dogs. You get all your dogs high.
Nah, look. Let me confirm that. Like, I don't smoke. I ain't never smoked the weed. Like, it's crazy. It tripped everybody. People who know me, they'll tell you I never smoked the I don't know. I never been into that.
Well, the guy next to you in the video was smoking.
I don't know what he was smoking.
Bugatti.
I don't know if he was smoking a cigarette.
Wait.
Bugatti.
Bugatti, you losing all your credibility.
Come
you got
on.
Two dogs stolen. You don't smoke weed. How you gonna be a rap star?
Man, I don't smoke weed, man. You know, it's like, I can't stop the next person for what he's doing. It's like, I wasn't really worried about who was smoking. really more concerned about my money. Like, in the dog, me and the dog. Because y'all seen the dog, me and the dog. That's a badass dog, man. Like, damn, man. Like, I'm just, it's like everything I do, my granny called me when it was going on and called me and told me I just need to quit buying dogs. That's exactly what she told me. She told me I need to quit buying dogs. She said every time something come up with a dog, it's always something my dog's getting stolen. Because see where I'm from, like stuff like that, people getting robbed out here. People getting robbed out here for like dogs and you know what I'm saying? Like, man, like for real. You know what I'm saying? Like people either getting robbed. People die. Man, I've seen so much crazy. I'm like, man.
And Bugatti, you put up on your Instagram that some fans were maybe concerned that this whole dog thing, this drama that's going on with Lucky Whitehead's dog, might push back the release date of your latest mixtape. But that's not going to happen, right? Everything is on schedule for the mixtape release, correct?
Yeah, my mixtape dropped July 28th. It dropped July 28th, it's already ready, and no pushback, everything I already dropped. You see what I'm saying? It's like, I had the date already, I had everything ready to go already before this even happened. Like I say, I'm not even knowing that, like I say, that there was just me and Dog. I couldn't believe it. Like, I, Bugatti Casino, like, I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. Like, how can somebody like me, just me, like, get so lucky to the point where a famous NFL player dog just fall in my hands, like, just, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He just being, you know what I'm saying? They like, hey, man, like, I couldn't believe
hey,
it.
Hey,
like,
man, are you a Cowboys fan?
I'm like, it's crazy they asked me that because they say it's conspiracy or some crazy shit, but I love like, you know, I'm from Fort Worth, so I'm from the Dallas Fort Worth area, so I like the Cowboys, but I'm not a Cowboys fan. You know, that's my home team, but I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm really a Washington Redskins fan.
Oh, man, the hell with you, man. What's wrong with you? How you gonna like the Redskins?
But you know, man, like Dez Bryant was my favorite player. That's crazy. Like, through the whole NFL, one of my favorite players. I love Dez Bryant. But with Whitehead, what he just did and, like, what we just went through, like, I gained a lot of respect for him, like, a lot of respect. Because, like I say, he could have really been, with him, like, not knowing or I guess, he could have really been, like, oh, man, I don't know if you had something to do with it or not. You know, but him being a man and being real to himself and, who you know, being true to who he is, like, he really just kept it so 100 with me. It's like, how could you hate somebody like that? Like, how could you not love somebody like that? You see what I'm saying? Like, I just gained a lot of respect, and it's like, you know, I'm 26, and it's like, I can't just roll over and just be like, nah, I'm a Cowboy fan now. Like, nah, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still a Redskin fan.
Well, you got to stick to it, Bugatti.
Oh, man, the hell with you. Yeah, you cheering for the Redskin. I hope you get another dog stolen.
But look, you know what's so crazy? It's like, everybody in my family, everybody where I'm from, they love the Cowboys. So it's like, you know, like, and then, like, my brother and them play with me. Like, man, look, man, like, when we play the Reds, when Redskins play Dallas, it's like, I gotta up and leave, you know, because it's like, they don't be wanting to hear it. Don't let us win. Don't let the Redskins win. Oh, man, I'm liable not to come around for a week.
Well, Bugatti, I got to be honest with you. I have to apologize because before talking to you, I didn't believe you. I really did. But now after you explained it to us on the phone here, I believe everything you say. And I believe you actually did the right thing in returning the dog back and, as you say, taking a loss on it, not taking his money and all of that. So I want to apologize for thinking that you were lying and want to commend you for your actions.
I apologize as well.
All right. Yeah, man. Thank y'all, man. It's crazy. Like I say, man, you know, just like on the outside looking in, it might have, and then the way the video came out, like I say, I was just looking for the reaction on, like, making sure that this was his dog. Like, I already felt like I was getting scammed. It's like, man, how did this just happen? Like, at this one time, how could this just happen like so fast? Then, like, I'm knowing if this his dog, which is looking like his dog, you know, it's looking like his dog, like, I just really, like, got scammed. You see what I'm saying? It's like, because it's like, I mean, I feel the same way. Like, I mean, it's going to feel anybody. I'm sure they probably feel the same way. It's like, you got to understand, I'm a local rapper. Like, and I don't spend, like, my little money that I be making out of rap, out of music, over a dollar that I just really, like, just done lost everything. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
like,
Bugatti, we appreciate you, man. Now take your red skin loving ass back to bed.
I appreciate that too, man.
All right, see you, Bugatti. Bugatti Casino. On Gio and Jones.
We were unfair to the man.
We were.
Yeah.
We judged a book by its cover.
Yes, we did.
And then we opened up the book and we got something else.
We judged a book by its English.
Yeah.
Lack thereof.
It wasn't like he was Shakespeare during this interview.
No, it was
a hell of a lot better than what we heard during his Twitter videos.
Especially when he woke up.
Yeah, that's right.
Much better.
Right. When he was getting into it, he got a little lathered up in the interview, and we got more from him there. And I really do, I wasn't just saying that, I do believe him.
Yes.
I believe that there is some sort of, like, dog-stealing thing that happens there. He didn't know where it came from, and then he thought that someone was scamming him to get money, and then he did that. And the reason why I believe him is the fact that he ended up giving the dog back.
I mean,
there was no money exchanged, and he apologized.
And he said Whitehead offered to give him money.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm doing the right thing here. Here's your dog. Because I've been a victim as well.
And there's another thing that made me really believe him. When he said he talked to his granny, and his granny said, you got to stop buying dogs. Because that to me was like you got to be a real good liar to make something up like that.
Yes.
And I just pictured in my head him actually talking to a much older woman.
Boy, you need to stop buying them dogs.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, exactly. Because he got wrapped up in this whole thing. So I thought he was going to be arrested, should have been arrested. I don't feel that way
anymore. I called for it.
Yeah, we both did.
Yes.
Yep. So,
man, way to go, Bugatti. Thank you. That was radio gold.
And then how people thought it was a conspiracy in his friend group or people that knew him because he was a Redskins fan, which is just great, too. Oh, man.
I mean, the backstory was just amazing. It kept getting better and better. Redskins fan steals Cowboys player's dog. Great story.
Holds it for ransom.
Book him, Dano.
All right, coming up next, there's nothing better than a Brian Jones pre-interview conversation. I will explain. We'll play some details next.
This is L.A. Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
And it's by his own admission. There is collegiate Brian. There is radio Brian. There is TV Brian. There is street Brian. Any other ones that I'm missing?
I think that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Compassionate Brian.
Compassionate Brian.
At times.
Horny Brian.
Yeah. Female coworker in the hallway Brian.
Yeah, there's that.
Why do you have a problem with people of the opposite race come up to me and they hug me?
That has nothing to do with it.
What are you talking about?
Trick the bosses, Brian.
It's always about that, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Jedi mind trick on management, Brian.
I mean, the opposite sex. Damn.
Yeah, because
why does that bother you so much? You had a problem with Caitlin hugging me the other day. Why?
Because I feel like these women don't want to be hugged by you every single day.
She walked up to me.
Well, that there's like Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome. Yes. That is not.
They just do it to get it over with and go back about their business.
Right, and then cry at their desks.
Yeah, it is sort of true.
Shut the hell up. Nobody's talking to you. It's not true. It's not even remotely true. Just jealous.
So
sort of true.
There's two versions.
You should try hug somebody.
There's two versions of Brian on display here that you're going to hear. We've got collegiate Brian and street Brian. So the first is collegiate Brian. Now, this is where you really get, not to say that Brian isn't himself on the air. He is. But when you get the pre-interview stuff, the stuff that he doesn't expect to air, you really get the true essence of Brian Jones. So Dr. Harry Edwards, who is a champion for social justice, an author, a guy who has been around a long time talking about racial issues in this country. He was a guest of ours a month and a half ago, somewhere around
June 9th.
June 9th, a month and a half. Pretty good. Because today's July 20th. Bang. All right, so.
Is it 20th already?
Yeah, it is. So this was Brian in the pre-interview with Dr. Harry Edwards.
Dr. Edwards, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
You and I have met in person when we brought you down to Austin for the Texas program in sports and media.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Broke bread with you, had a great time, was in awe, because you're a huge man and got an even bigger brain.
All right, Dr. Harry Edwards, Collegiate Brian. Here is Street Brian talking to Bugatti Casino, who we just had on. Or just played the interview. This is him talking to Bugatti before the interview started.
All right, what's up?
It's good, man.
It's good. You just waking up, dog?
Yeah, you know, man.
What time you go to bed, man?
I wouldn't sleep back around.
About what?
Five.
What you doing at 5 in the morning in Dallas?
My phone kept going out, man.
Who called you, man? The bitch is calling you.
Nah, man, just shit.
What you doing? Who called you at 5 in the morning, man?
Social media, man.
Social media. You stole somebody else's dog.
Nah, man.
All right, well, let's get this interview.
So sounds similar. Yeah. I don't know what the big difference is.
That was more racist than Creole bogus.
Yeah. You know the 5 on the dally. And I called myself, man, why am I grabbing my crotch? You know, you gotta get real cool, grab you.
Did you finish with it like arms crossed move? Like,
what's up, my man? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was actually holding a gun to the microphone.
Yeah, what time you go to bed, man? Tell the truth. What time you wake up?
Hello, Mr. Edwards. How are you, sir?
What you doing, 5 a.m. and daddy?
What's up?
What you doing talking to that bitch? Mike, if he start recording me, man. You start recording when the interview starts, okay?
Oh, man, you are a social chameleon. You really are. You're incredible.
Those were similar. Well, Dr. Edwards, how are you doing, sir? Who called you, man? The bitch is calling you.
I don't think Dr. Harry Edwards would be too pleased with that intro. Brian, you're setting us back several decades.
I was speaking Bugatti's language, man. You have to adapt to your interviewee.
No, I do agree with that because he did. He warmed up some. He woke
up.
I do think that what you did was a good thing for the interview. However, it's just hilarious.
Dr. Edwards, how are you doing, sir? Who called you, man? The bitch is calling you.
Oh, man.
That's the duality of men.
It is. Andrew Bogish is here with an update. Hello, Andrew.
Which Bogish will we get?
Regular, mostly non-offensive Bogish with a report that's brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Whether you're buying or selling, get every advantage you can. Get Realtor. Jordan Spieth is atop the British Open leaderboard in round one at Royal Birkdale. He is 3-under through 10. Stuart Manley in the clubhouse with a 2-under 68, also a -2, Ian Poulter and Justin Rose. Poulter has played 16 holes. Rose is through 9 so far this morning. Sergio Garcia and Ricky Fowler among those teeing off next hour. Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy play together at 9:48 Eastern. Carmelo Anthony is still a Nick this morning, still wishing to be a Rocket, while Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum wish she was a Blazer. Lillard not too shy to be a salesman.
I spoke to him because obviously he makes us a better team.
I don't know why the giggles. The Blazers were once willing to facilitate a Knicks-Rockets trade, but now clearly want Melo for themselves. The Suns yesterday extended GM Ryan McDonough through the 2019-20 season and hired former player James Jones as VP of basketball operations.
That's how I envisioned it. That would have been my dream, but knowing how tough this business is, I wouldn't have thought it would have been a reality.
Jones spent the last few seasons following LeBron from Miami to Cleveland. U.S. men's soccer off to the Gold Cup semifinals after downing El Salvador 2-0 last night. Omar Gonzalez and Eric Lehigh scored before halftime in Philly last night. Up next is Costa Rica Saturday at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. In Chicago last night, the Dodgers beat the White Sox 9-1 in 8 thanks to rain. That's 11 straight wins for Dave Roberts' team.
It's one of those things where the things now are in place where, regardless of opponent, where we play, and you know, even last night we talked about how guys were upset about how we played and still won a major league game, which is tough to do.
They were better Wednesday than they were on Tuesday. Corey Seager, 2-run home run last night. Kike Hernandez went deep twice. The Angels blanked the Nats 7-0, and Boston beat Toronto 5-1. The Diamondbacks losing in 11 in Cincinnati 4-3. The Brewers lost in 10 in Pittsburgh 3-2. Dallas police have suspended their investigation into Sunday night's nightclub altercation that may have included Ezekiel Elliott, the man that apparently got punched in the face, will not respond to detectives, and no witnesses have come forward with further information. And Jay Cutler's first regular season game on Fox reportedly will be the Bears and Falcons in Week 1. We already knew his booth debut would be the Bears' third preseason game in Tennessee.
Thanks, Bogus. We were talking about Brian's dog, White Child, that was shot in front of him when he was a kid earlier, and it did come up in the Bugatti Casino interview, and his reaction to Brian telling him that is just priceless. So I felt like we needed to go back and listen to that portion.
Hey, man, when I was a kid, somebody shot my dog.
Damn.
You also get Mikey B giggling in the background.
You do hear that.
Damn. Hey, man, when I was a kid, somebody shot my dog.
Damn.
Damn.
I think he cares a little bit more than you guys.
I think
he
does.
He didn't laugh.
Yeah, and then he said he doesn't smoke weed.
Yeah, man, he's just killing his credibility. There goes his rap career.
You think so?
No weed, and his dogs are being stolen on two occasions. That's no way he can be successful in the rap game. He ain't about that life.
I think he might be lying about that portion of it. I do believe the stuff he said about the story with the dog. Now, someone tweeted us and said, I can't believe you guys believe what Bugatti had to say. I'm losing respect for you because
of whatever.
That's what he said.
That was genuine.
I think I kind of believed him.
We woke him up.
Yeah.
You get up. Well, I know somebody wakes up and immediately starts lying.
Yeah, to
but
me,
we won't go there.
To me, he's not.
Good morning, Pete.
he's not that. I mean, he sounded really dumb in the Twitter videos, but he's not that dumb to go on the radio show, too, and then talk about this if he had done something criminal.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I believe him. We should do a poll. Do you believe Bugatti Casino's story on the show? If enough people heard it. But do you believe that Bugatti Casino is telling
and
the truth? Maybe
we need to track down Lucky Whitehead now and find out if it's true that he offered to pay or reimburse Bugatti Casino and Bugatti declined the offer.
If we got them both on at the same time, that would be...
No, I think we've had enough of Bugatti.
No, boys.
No more Redskins.
Speak for yourself. Yeah. You know what's going to happen the first Redskin Cowboy game? Bugatti Casino is going to come on to break it down. That's what's going to happen. He is going to come on. We got to
have him. He's going to be our Snoop.
Yeah, man. This guy, we have to cultivate this relationship. I think here's our NFL analyst, Bugatti Casino, on Redskins Insider.
Damn.
We should have asked him about Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah.
This contract situation.
Damn.
That's what he's going to say after the Cowboys whip the Redskins again.
Damn.
That's going to be his reaction. Hey, good, you just waking up, dog.
Damn.
Hey, Bugatti, when I was younger, someone shot my dog.
Hey, man, when I was a kid, somebody shot my dog.
Damn.
It had to register. It took him a moment.
Oh, boy. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Bugatti Casino.
Yes, thank you very much. Coming up next, Tony Dungy is a man I don't think should have a job analyzing football any longer. We're coming right back.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony Dungy is someone that's well respected in NFL circles. He has been for a long time, but I'm someone who has looked at him and some of the stuff he's said over the past few years, and I'm starting to lose respect for some of his analysis for various reasons. I'll get to some of the other stuff after I tell you the latest one. So Mike Sando of ESPN put together a panel of many people associated with football that are very, very respected. Wade Phillips, North Turner, Mike Holmgren, Al Saunders, Tony Dungy, amongst others, to rank the greatest quarterbacks of all time because people love lists. It's a slow time in football, so why not get something to talk about? We'll get these guys and we'll talk about it. So the cumulative rankings ended up with Brady 1, Manning 2, Montana 3, Elway 4, Rodgers 5, Marino Favre tied for 6th, Steve Young, Drew Brees, Dan Fouts to round out the top 10. But if you look into the individual rankings and how they ended up with this, Tony Dungy ranked Tom Brady 6th on that list, which to me has to come from dislike of that organization more than anything else. And that to me is ridiculous. Now, I know that he lost 7 out of 10 meetings against Brady, and I know that they had the success the one year where they ended up winning the Super Bowl in 2006. So he does have that. But to rank him 6th is just petty. And to me, his reasoning behind it with, well, it's about the system and these other guys are harder to prepare for, right, and the defenses were good and blah, blah, blah. Come on, man. You're lost. Totally lost.
He was asked to approach this list, amassing this list from a defensive coordinator standpoint, drawing up a scheme to stop certain quarterbacks, and he focused more on the quarterbacks that were dual threats, like a John Elway, who had the scrambling ability. Aaron Rodgers, he put up there ahead of Brady. Steve Young. And those guys were incredibly difficult to game plan, having played against a Steve Young. And those cats were difficult. And because of that scrambling ability, because they can buy time to look down the field and allow the receivers to come open. Well, Brady does it, but he does it in a different way. The way he slides within the pocket, he buys time for his players as well, or his wide receivers. And additionally, the guy's done it with a changing roster. The different faces he's had to throw this football to. You go to a Joe Montana and a Steve Young, they both. You know, had same guys they were throwing to for their entire careers. Free agency wasn't as robust as it is now. And Brady has had to do it with different guys, different wide receivers over the length of his career. That's what I always say. He's a guy who can make others better. And so, I wouldn't. I'm not so upset that he didn't have him, you know, number one. But to say he's not in your top 3 or 4, considering your track record you had against this guy and all the times you couldn't defeat him, and we're not talking about how well their defense played, we're talking about how well he played against your defense. So to have lost to a guy that many times and not have him in your top 5, that's a head scratcher.
Yeah, he didn't even have Peyton Manning in his top 3, which was interesting. You would think that having coached him, and if he's going with the hard to prepare for thing, yeah, of course Peyton Manning didn't run, but Peyton Manning,
he knew exactly what you were going to do before you did it.
Yeah, and you could
Brady's
spend
similar.
Yeah, you could spend all week game planning against Peyton Manning, and then he'll change it by audibling at the line of scrimmage every single time, or fake audibling and all the stuff that he did. It's just, to me, it has a lot to do with the disdain of the New England Patriots. That stuff's got to stop at this point. Everybody who still searches for reasons to disparage what they've been able to do, they're just doing it out of pettiness. I mean, why can't you respect it at this point? You know, and Tony Dungy, the way that he hides behind religion to mask his homophobia is another thing, and he's been very, very outspoken about that, is another reason why I think that some of the things that he says, I just can't take seriously.
They're not hiding. That's how they feel. The late Reggie White did the same thing when he was there as a leader of the Green Bay Packers, and so they're not hiding. That's their belief, and that's their faith, and they use that to illustrate their beliefs and their ideology. And so they're out front about it. I wouldn't say they're hiding. While I disagree with it, that's just who they are. You just had another player come out, offensive lineman for Kansas State, and said his teammates had known for over a year that he was gay, and now he's announced that to the world. So gay. I'm sure, I'm positive, all the years I played from Pop Warner all the way up to the pros, that there have been players in the locker room that were gay, and they were just afraid to come out. And
because of guys like Tony Dungy, who would say it on a national platform, who's well-respected. I mean, that's part of the reason why. And I'm not saying that they're hiding from their thoughts, but they're hiding behind the Bible. They're hiding behind the word to explain their homophobia is what it is, as opposed to
so
just coming out and saying...
So you say if not for the Bible, they wouldn't feel the same?
I think they may. I think that they're
home of their belief.
It's part of it, but I also think that some people who believe in a lot of things in religion also realize that as we've gone on and we're in the year 2017, that we should be accepting all people, and there's some people that are just homophobes, and they use that to give them reason to believe that. Well, look at this. Well, look at this thing. If I'm going to live by this, then I have to be prejudiced, which is just sickening, is what it is. So there's not a lot of things that Tony Dungy can say now that I will take seriously because of those couple of things. And it's a shame, because he was always someone that I looked to as a bastion of good in the NFL, and I've got several reasons to think otherwise at this point. And I don't believe that Tony Dungy is one of these baiters when it comes to the NFL story. Like, I don't think he put Tom Brady sixth because he wanted people to talk about him, or he wanted people to tune in to NBC at any point because he said that. I think he truly believes it, which is a little alarming.
Yeah, it is alarming. Once again, not to have that guy in your top five, considering all the head-to-head matchups you have with him, and you came out on the losing end the majority of the time. That's baffling.
Yeah. Let's talk a little more basketball before we get into four commissioners walking into a bar, which is going to come up in about 10 minutes from now. But Kyrie Irving spoke for the first time in a while, and he said that the Cavaliers are in a peculiar place right now in this offseason. Another Cavalier story, as we talked about Carmelo Anthony earlier, I just saw on Twitter a couple of minutes ago, is Frank Isola, who is very close to the New York Knicks, works for the Daily News, came out and said that from the people he's talked to, it's not so much the Rockets that he wants to play for, although he would go there, it's the Cavaliers. He wants to end up in Cleveland even more so than the Rockets. And I keep asking myself this question about the Cavaliers. And Kyrie Irving using the word peculiar is, I think, spot on. Is how did we get to this point with them so fast? Because this was a team that rolled through the Eastern Conference playoffs. Yes, ran into a healthy Warriors team with Kevin Durant, and ended up losing the NBA Finals. And there were a couple of games in there that were a little bit lopsided. But how did we get from a team in the Cavaliers that was on a crash course to get to the Finals? It was the rubber match between those two teams the third time around, defending NBA champions, to the point where they're in chaos. It should not have happened this way. And I still think there's a major overreaction within this organization about where they are. They've got a fired general manager. Had rumors abound about LeBron leaving at the end of the year. But they're still the best team in the Eastern Conference, despite what Boston has done at this point. And it's not even close. They're going to go back to the finals next year. And they might even win it again.
Well, I'm not going to say they're going to go back. We'll see who they bring back. And Kyrie Irving, his point was well taken, that, okay, let's make sure we take care of our nucleus. And, of course, that's LeBron. He's going to be there. Kyrie will be there. And I believe he was including Kevin Love into that conversation as well. Let's make sure we take care of the main guys and then see what we can do from that point on. And there's not much they can do. I mean, who are you going to package together to go out and get another big name to partner with those three? How are you going to increase or upgrade your bench so where you can not miss or skip a beat once you give the big dogs a little rest? So they've got a ton of questions. There's turmoil or maybe turmoil is too strong a word in their front office, but They do look a little like they're in disarray currently, but still a long way till they drop the ball in October and in their preseason workouts. So we'll see what happens once they shore up things in the front office, see who's going to be leading that bunch. But right now, as they sit, I'm not going to say they're dead set on another a championship. Boston has upgraded. Hayward gives them a lot of help. So we'll see what happens. But they definitely are still have the best player in the game. So with that being the case, you could look forward to them or maybe pencil them in as being the favorite to get back.
Oh, there's no doubt, which is amazing to me. I mean, if you want to the best illustration or the best example of the Warriors' dominance, look no further than the Cavaliers, who beat them one game in the NBA Finals and beat them the year before Durant. But look no further than that, because this is a team that had a spectacular season, had one of the most dominant postseasons up until the NBA Finals that we've seen, losing one game, has LeBron James on it, is going to come back and be the favorite in the Eastern Conference next year, and you would have thought that they were the LA Clippers. You would have thought that they were the Clippers, disbanding, guys leaving, a mess, a team that couldn't get over the hump. I mean, they were just this time last year, they were the toast of the town. Everywhere they went, right. Milk parties for everybody. And now we're sitting here as if they are the biggest failure. It's driving me crazy. I think because I'm a fan of a team that really is a bottom feeder. I'm a fan of a team that is the scum at the bottom of the barrel. And then I look at this team, and we're supposed to think that they're in disarray, and Kyrie, you're in a peculiar place.
Well, they are in a peculiar place, and you look at the team, they won one game in the finals. They were whipped in the finals. And you just because you got the finals, you're still the first loser because you didn't win the championship. But are they as in bad shape as we make them out to be? No, they're not. But once again, how many moves can they make? Who can they bring back into the fold? Yes, they were close to the Jimmy Butler deal, if we believe the reports, and Paul George. But that didn't happen. It didn't materialize. So what do they do next? Now, if they were that close in bringing those type of players in, maybe they can go out and bring someone else in. Maybe it is Carmelo.
Coming up next, four commissioners get together. The topic of gambling comes up. One goes silent. I think you can guess which one that is. It's Gio and Jones coming right back on CBS Sports Radio.
Milk!